And we're back on the Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. We're tapping into the Brinker's Jewelers Hotline with our friend Joe Pott of the Cardinals Radio Network here on WREF. Hey, Joe, how we doing?
Doing well, man. How about yourself?
All good. Really appreciate you coming on. You know, it's one of those times where we can kind of take a bit of a deep breath and catch our breath after what was a pretty wild ride in the first half of the MLB season. The Cardinals are kind of middle of the pack in the NL Central, 6.5 games outside of first place, but a game and a half outside of the wild card. So they are in striking distance, and that all sounds really good. The All-Star game yesterday. Hey, what did you think of the All-Star game? You get an opportunity to watch?
Every bit of it. And I felt like it was one of the best in a long time, and I'm definitely on the bandwagon of each team's uniforms. That's how I grew up watching it. I think that's really special about the MLB All-Star Game, and I think it sort of set the tone. I felt like it was just a different feel than it's been the last couple of years, and I'm all good with the swing off, right? The little mini home run derby. I thought it was great. I think that baseball has been looking for ways to attract a younger generation or make itself more exciting, and I think the All-Star Game is a great spot to do that. I don't think it diminished from the game. It really felt great to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a really cool thing. It solidifies the assertion that Major League Baseball, of the three major sports in America, they by far have the best All-Star Game, and maybe even just straight up the best All-Star Weekend or just week, in my opinion, because you look at what the Pro Bowl has become and an NBA All-Star Game. This was a lot of fun. I liked it a lot, and they did a good job in kind of showcasing the players. Obviously, each team getting an All-Star for the Cardinals. Brendan Donovan was their representative, and he ended up scoring a run on the Pete Alonso home run to make it 5-0 NL, and National League ends up winning on the swing-off. Again, Joe Pott here on WREF. The Ref's Call is driven by D. Patrick Nissan. But, the All-Star Game is a fun thing. It is kind of the unofficial halfway point of the season, which gives us an opportunity to reflect on the first half. How would you grade the Cardinals in the first half of the 2025 season?
Boy, that's interesting because I think if you grade it, if you're looking at it like, here's what we expected, here's what, was kind of like on the radar what we thought was going to be, then I think you have to give them a pretty high mark.
Yeah.
Because I think they exceeded those expectations. If you look at the season and kind of break it down, you definitely can see this is not a perfect team by any means. Right now, as we speak, it's not a playoff team, but as you mentioned in the lead-in, they certainly are in the mix, and it just makes the next month, 3 weeks, whatever, super important.
Yeah, it certainly does, and it's funny because I do want to kind of pat myself and you on the back because I remember we had a preseason conversation. I just kind of asked you, hey, why not the Cardinals? And to a certain degree, maybe we are slightly off, at least so far we are, because, like you said, season ended today. They're not a playoff team, but they're very much in contention. And I think they've shown that they're not just going to be a doormat in the NL Central like I think a lot of teams and a lot of preseason pundits kind of expected them to be. And there's a lot to like about this team, though they are not a perfect team. So, with the first half in the books, what do you think is kind of the most glaring hole that this team ought to address if they are, in fact, buyers at the deadline? I know we've talked a lot about the starting pitching.
Well, that's definitely one of them, right? I mean, you and I have talked a lot about the fact that if you kind of look at this rotation, they are essentially operating with maybe a number two and then a couple of number fours. I don't know. I mean, it's just not, it doesn't feel like, I think if there's an ace out there, certainly you could do that. But if there is someone that can slot into that spot that is either, right behind Sonny Gray or right behind Matthew Liberatore, I mean, I think those two have been your best two starters. I think that everybody else, you can slide out make them somewhere else. So I definitely think starting pitching is one. And I think if they had their choice, a right-handed bat, some sort of right-handed pop, if you could, maybe even if it's someone coming off the bench, I mean, I think those are the kind of things they'd be looking at.
Again, Joe Pott here on WREF. The Ref's Call is driven by D. Patrick Nissan. And I'm Brian Klein talking about where the Cardinals stand. And you know, maybe that's what they kind of need, their wish list, their shopping list, so to speak, on the trade deadline. But when you look, Joe, at what they have at the major league level and, more importantly, what they have in the pipeline, how much ammunition does Mozeliak have to make a deal to be a buyer for the Cardinals in the second half?
That's a great question. You know, we've addressed it a little bit. I've talked about, I think that Ryan Helsley could you know, net you something, and I think that you could make do and fill that closer spot, you know, a couple of different ways. So I think that is intriguing only because he's major league proven, obviously a talented closer that is, you know, certainly not what he was last year, and that doesn't mean that he can't be still, but you know, to this point has been down a little bit. I've even heard some of those bullpen pieces, right? And we've talked about the bullpen being a strength, but if they can, you know, maneuver one or, you know, one of those pieces into something or some things, maybe a couple things back, then maybe that's something you look at. Thomas Ajayi is a guy that's come to mind for me only because I feel like it's just a little bit of a depth spot when you talk about infielders. But yeah, you know, other than that, it's you got to get creative, and I think we've seen obviously John Mozeliak do that. He's gotten creative before, and he's made moves that has benefited his team while providing some value the other way, or at least perceived value at the time. It's always interesting, right? Because you want to, I think ultimately when you look at a trade, a deal, ideally if both parties feel like that they have gotten what they wanted or they have benefited in some way, that's good, and it certainly doesn't always work out that way. But it's, yeah, I think that, you know, start getting creative, and I guarantee you he's already, you know, all these theoretical moves and changes and moving pieces, they're all, you know, they're all on a big whiteboard somewhere in somebody's office.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, smarter than us.
Well, we've all watched the movie Moneyball. We know how it works.
Yeah.
But, okay, so that's all being discussed. We know that, but what will end up happening, we don't know that. And I can't ask you to predict that. No one could. But what I can ask you is, what are your expectations of the second half of the Cardinals? And I'm not even asking you to crystal ball the trade deadline, though that's part of it. But after the first half, the first three and a half months of the season, we all had our preseason expectations. Yours and mine were a little different than I think most other people. But the first half, three and a half months, has to at least in part recalibrate your expectations and your knowledge base of the team. So based on the first half, what do you expect of this team in the second half? And I'll just ask you straight up, kind of as a two-parter, do you expect them to make the postseason?
So I think what you said, you know, recalibrating your expectations, I hope that everybody has, to be honest, because we've seen this team get on a little bit of a run and get really, really close and be what you would look at and say, this is a pretty darn good team. And then we've seen those runs that are like, boy, you know, maybe we were off. But I do think that certainly you've got to recalibrate from this is a complete retooling year. There's not going to be anything to come of this year. That should be gone in my mind because this team has showed us that they are certainly more than that. And I'll point to something that we talked about, you know, a week ago or whatever it was. You've got the Rockies for six games. You've got the Marlins for six games. You're going to play the Arizona Diamondbacks coming right out of the break. They have not yet kind of played up to their potential, I would say. You've got a lot of division games on the schedule. So there's opportunities there. I don't know that I expect this team to make the playoffs, but that said, I also don't expect them to fall out of it. Like, I would not be shocked if this is a team that comes up a couple games shy of the wild card. I think the Cubs are really good, and it's hard for me to imagine that they're going to make a real push for the Central Division, but I think that wild card spot is probably going to be in play for the long haul.
You know, the thing I struggle with, and I believe that this team has a chance, a real chance, to make a run at one of those wild cards. I'm kind of on your boat with it when it comes to the division. My only thing that I'm looking at, and you tell me if you disagree, is, okay, if they're going to make a run at the postseason, whether it be wild card or division, they're going to have to make one or two moves, significant moves that impact this team, especially when it comes to the starting rotation. But where is that move going to come from? And again, I'm not asking you to predict trades. That's impossible. But I'm looking and I'm seeing maybe a third of the league that are going to be true sellers at the deadline. Because of the three wild cards now, I feel like there are a lot of teams that might just buy and it's going to be a seller's market because of that. I'm a little worried about that on behalf of the Cardinals fans. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, isn't that tough? I mean, that you know, we thought it was tough when they added a wild card. Now it's a couple more wild cards, and it does keep so many teams in that conversation for longer and for longer than, I mean, they've kicked around what the deadline should be. Should they move that deadline back because of that? Because there are teams, there are more teams that are in the mix, and you're right. It certainly feels like that's going to make things tougher. And then you throw on top of that a couple things. If you're the Cardinals, you still are looking towards the long-term future. So you're not going to do anything that is going to gut the system or you know, take somebody out that you really think is has the ability, has the chance to be a player here, a big-time piece in the next couple of years. And then you've got the added wrinkle of your current president of baseball operations is outgoing, and you have a new incoming president of baseball operations that is – you know, in the organization, so there has to be some balance there. And John Mozeliak mentioned that, I don't know, several weeks ago that, yeah, he still has his day job. This is still his job. But anything that is going to, you know, affect this team a couple of years down the road, he has to keep that in mind as well.
And to a certain degree, I feel like that's a strength. But I also feel like it's a bit of an obstacle for the Cardinals to have too. It's almost like having two popes. I mean, how do you have two guys that are controlling the roster, the 40-man roster? I mean, you basically have one guy monitoring the 25-man, 40-man roster, and the rest of the system is constructed and managed by Chaim Bloom, and they're just not mutually exclusive right now at the trade deadline, and it's a weird situation. It seems like it's getting a little bit tangled up, but I guess we're going to see how it all goes down come trade deadline time. Again, that's Joe Pond of the Cardinals Radio Network here on WREF. Joe, really, really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your knowledge on the Cardinals. I know that the All-Star break is supposed to be just that, a break, but even still, you're punching in, punching out for us here on the Brinker's Jewelers phone line.
Yeah, the media side, we don't take a break, right? We're not lucky enough to take those 3-4 days off like everybody else. We still have our jobs to do.
We still have work, but we love work, so it's okay, I guess.
It's good, you're right.
Hey, again, Joe, really appreciate the time and talk soon.
Yep, absolutely.
The Cardinals are back in action on Friday. Of course, we're going to have the game for you on the Cardinals Radio Network right here on 97.7, a 7:45 start to the coverage. The Cardinals on the West Coast taking on the Diamondbacks. With that, we take a step aside, but don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan on WREF 97.7 FM. The Ref, always the right call.